Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Hope you're having a great start to your day. We got a lot to get into today. Adam Kaplan, longtime NFL insider, going to join us at 11. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton about Kick 360 at noon. Plus, you'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. We might even have a player. Who knows how it all goes. How we doing, gentlemen?
Doing good, man. My ears are ringing, just to let you know. So if I am talking abnormally loud, it's because I really can't hear anything. So I'm going to talk a little bit louder. Went to Jack Harlow last night with my daughter. He did a wonderful job, but man, oh, man. When women scream or teenagers scream, oh my goodness, it's just like a pitching sound. It's just like somebody was just taking some of my ear. It was just like, ah. And it lasted like he was on stage for about an hour and a half. In a whole hour and a half, it was screaming, just screaming. And now I'm paying for it right now. But the concert is a really good concert. Really good content.
Yeah, I'm used to that. Women scream at me all the time. Scream, friend zone! That's what they scream.
So, I am a little impaired, just a tad bit. But
You know what?
We'll make it through.
It's okay. We're going to get through it.
Absolutely.
It'll be good. Willie's got his Mets hat on, as they are now tied for first with the Atlanta Braves.
I saw the text. You said three consecutively. Bam, bam, bam.
Well, listen, here's
and they were pointed right at Willie.
I almost pulled a Stillman when I did that because I thought the game was further along than it actually was.
And yeah, it got a little hairy for you.
The Braves had broken it open and had like a 5-run lead. Then all of a sudden, the A's come back and tie it. Tony Kemp was a part of that process.
Yes,
Kemp made a great play, too. I don't know if you watched the game. Kemp made a great play saving a hit from Vaughn Grissom, who continues to just tear the cover off the ball.
I love Tony Kemp.
Oh, he's awesome. He's a great player. But anyway, Braves win. Mm-hmm. Mets lose. Now tied.
Dead heat.
Fun race.
The Mets, early in the season, had a 10-game lead on the Braves. It has been whittled down to nothing. And it's really not because the Mets have played that bad. Now, the last three games,
the bats have gotten quiet, though.
Big time. Especially the last three games, they've had three really bad losses to two very bad teams, the Nationals and the Pirates. So that has got everybody concerned. And, of course, concern in New York is total panic, especially when it comes to the Mets. So there's a freak out that's starting to happen. But the Braves just simply don't lose. They do not lose to bad teams. And I have to hope that at some point they have a little bit of lull, but it's just hard. They got Spencer Strider going today, who has been lights out. They're playing the A's, who are not a good team at all. The Mets have a doubleheader today in Pittsburgh. So at about 11:30, I'll be monitoring, and let's just hope the Mets can get out of the funk. I keep saying it. I think both teams are going to win 100 games. So
yeah, I think you're right. And they're, what, 14 away from that?
They both
have 86 wins?
Yeah, I would not be shocked if they both win 100. I just saw this from Adam Schefter, a little local tie-in here. Dawson Knox reached an agreement on a 4-year contract extension.
Good for him.
It ties him to Buffalo through 2026. It's expected to place Knox in the top 5 highest-paid tight ends in the league. He will sign it after practice today. So good
such
for
a,
him. And
such a good story.
I'd be trying to sign that before practice. Listen, we need to get this done before practice.
You don't sign it, you bust a knee.
Exactly.
We gotta change a few things on this.
But yeah, a great, great story. Had a tremendous year last year. And of course, most of you maybe who've been following, they had the real tragic story. His brother Lucas not too long ago passed away unexpectedly. So he's been through a lot. That family's been through a lot. I've known his dad for a long, long time. And so it's good to have some good news in the family there.
Andrew Marchand, I just saw this. I don't know when this came out, but putting out that Larry Fitzgerald going to join ESPN in a Monday Night Countdown.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize he retired, honestly.
I don't think he officially retired.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't think he officially retired. So, but
did you officially retire? Could you come back?
Yeah, I did. But again, it's not like – I don't know why. It's not like this – like you got to sign some papers and, you know, send it in to the league that you officially retired. No, you don't have to do that. You just retire. Or you don't retire. But after a while, they know you're done.
Right.
You know, but like, you know, it's, people do it just to it's sort of the finality of things. I can't even talk right now. My ears are still ringing. That's why guys do it. So I did it, and I'm sure a lot of other guys have done it and will continue to do it.
Willie, congratulations on still having a job. Just saw that the Predators and Bally Sports have renewed their media rights agreement. So that's good for you.
Good job. No wonder you were sweating the other day.
That's good. It just came out. So
good job, Willie.
That'll be good.
You didn't even know, did you?
I didn't.
Willie, Chris Mason, Lindsey Rowley, Skillsy.
Hey, you're like me.
I figured when the game started, we'd just be up there talking. Hopefully, we'd be hooked up to something and see what happens. So
you like me when I got my jersey taken from me. I didn't know.
Hey, you're 85 now. What?
Exactly, huh? Oh, okay.
We signed Yancey Thigpen.
So you and I are in the same boat.
He's going to play half the games and look pretty.
Oh, man.
But anyway, we're up and running. Willie asked the 10 Titans questions yesterday, and what we're going to do over the course of the next few days is take some of those, make it our poll question of the day, so you can vote on that on Twitter at 1025 the game. Big Nick Keiser behind the glass will get that up for us. But the question today is over under 1350 for Derrick Henry. And I think I said over. I know what I said. I said over yesterday that I think he would hit that. Derrick, I believe you
Derrick
said over.
Derrick absolutely said over.
Definitely.
And Willie, over. I believe you took the under.
I took the under, hoping to be wrong.
I'm surprised Coach Willie took the under.
I'm not. Yeah.
He's usually more optimistic than that.
He's been ready to put him in the retirement home for 2 years. I mean, saying that he's there over.
That's not really
him.
True because last year I did take the over on 1550, but I've been concerned for a couple years. I think that's the thing. I've been bringing to the attention just the track record of running backs who have that kind of workload. It is very easy to track. It's public knowledge. It's common knowledge even among football people, but the Titans have just sort of put their chips into the middle of the table and said Derrick Henry is the exception to the rule. And he was up until he broke his foot last year. Yeah. So I'm hoping for a bounce back. It looks like, to me, they're going to rely on him very heavily again. My theory is if you give it to him a little bit less, you might get more. Mm-hmm. But that is predicated on a lot of other things falling into place on that offense with a ton of unproven pieces. The only proven piece they have really is him. So I can definitely see a scenario where, especially early in the year, they continue to give it to him 25, 27 times a game. And I just don't know if you can sustain that at this stage of his career.
Well, I mean, this offensive line has had troubles the last couple of years at pass blocking. So, you know, it would behoove them to continue to run the football until they can get the pass blocking situation rectified. So, which means they're going to continue to lean on Derrick Henry. Now, you know, Hilliard and Haskins fit in the mix as well.
I think they're going to make a difference.
I think they will.
I don't know if you're going to see a obvious effort of them taking carries away from Derrick, but I think when Hilliard especially gets his opportunities, he's going to have some explosive plays. I think he can be much more effective. I heard Joe mention this morning. He can be much more effective than Jeremy McNichols.
Is that
change of pace back?
Well, he can, and they're going to try to do that with him as well. But I think Hassan Haskins has that ability to be a change of pace back too. Even though he has the power running style, the kid can catch the ball out the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. So I think he still gives you that threat as well as being a dual threat guy. Now, you know, how effective or how much do you rely on a rookie to you know, be able to, you know, do all of that pass pro, you know, coming out the backfield, running between the tackles, knowing everything, reading defenses. That's a lot for a rookie. So I would expect to see Hilliard get a lot of opportunities before Haskins does until he gets caught up in the playbook. So, but I can't see the Tennessee Titans taking a significant amount of carries away from Derrick Henry, because he is the engine that makes it all go. You know,
what if he's not?
What if he's not? What?
What if you see after 2-3 games, he's not? He's not the same. He's even like, let's just say he's your average running back. I don't think that's going to be the case, yeah. But what if it is?
If it was a fifth, we all be drunk. You know that. but I understand the sort of the hesitation with everybody. Like, man, is this the year? They're all, you know, sort of waiting for that shooter drop. But, I mean, this guy has been productive his whole football life, basically, that we know of, whether it be in college, high school, or now in the NFL. Even when people were questioning Derrick Henry, he still was averaging over 4 yards per carry. You know, he was learning how to run in the NFL. He was learning how to run behind his blockers. He was learning how to run against NFL defenses. And for some reason, people were like, oh, he's not the guy. What is wrong with him? He was learning like everybody else does. But the kid was still averaging over 4 yards per carry.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Derek, if we've learned one thing, your theme for the preseason is, whether we're talking about fantasy or Derrick Henry, you believe in the veterans until they don't show you.
Exactly.
You believe that they're going to continue. I'm a little bit more concerned about, you know, once you hit a certain age, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, I think, what we're going to see early in the season, just because of how few other proven pieces they have in spots on offense. Mm-hmm. Outside of, you know, obviously the quarterback. But everybody's in a different spot receiving-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You got new tight ends. So what do you have? The old standby of Derrick Henry. But is he close? I'm just going to say he's going to be down a notch. He has been down. He was down last year from what he had been the year before. He's not going to go the other way, I don't think. Not likely. But can he still be really good? That's what I'm hoping for. But I just wonder how much are they going to have to rely on him early while they figure out the other roles on the offense?
Well, and that leads us into our next question. Can the Titans offense get enough explosive plays, and where do those come from? We'll discuss that coming up next. We're up and running here on a Wednesday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can always weigh in on the phone or the text line. We'll get into that next. But first, D-Mace is going to tell us about BetUS.
Absolutely. Attention, sports fans. I know y'all are out there because y'all listening to this show. Men, women, it doesn't matter. Your favorite sports book, BetUS.com, is back for their 28th year of NFL action with the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. That's a lot. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including, I'm start with this, MLB, NBA, NFL, and more. They've also got hundreds of new casinos, casino games, including the coolest European slots. I need to play those. And their dealers are waiting for you at the table. Absolutely, they are. You need a sport book with integrity and longevity. You need to know that you will get paid. You need a sport book that offer everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horse racing, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they will walk you through setting up your account. Nobody in the industry gives better bonuses than BetUS. Join now. Mention 1025, and you can get up to 200% again, 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BetUS.com and join today. That's BetUS, where the games begin.
Hey, Mikhail. How you doing? 615-737-1025. That is our phone number, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Here on 1025-1063, the game. Our poll question of the day is up at 1025 the game on Twitter. Will Titans running back Derrick Henry rush for over or under 1,350 yards? Early returns, 66.7% taking the over in that. So vote, and you can text in as well as the show goes on. But now asking, do the Titans, can they get enough offensive explosive plays, and where do they come from? And I will say, I mean, we know that Derrick Henry can be an explosive player, but I think you're going to have to get more than that based on kind of what we've been talking about with his workload. So is it going to be Robert Woods, who was initially brought in to be the number two receiver? Right now he's the number one receiver. Is it going to be Treylon Burks? Is it going to be Austin Hooper, mm-hmm. which I believe is going to be a factor? I mean, I think Austin Hooper is going to be a factor, but where, Derek, do those offensive plays come from? Or those explosive offensive plays?
It's by committee. And it's going to be up to Downing to, you know, and O'Hara, more so Downing, to, you know, design plays that develop into big plays. Because, listen, as much as we may, you know, try to believe, balls are not being thrown 30 and 40 yards down the field every play, or, you know, that's not the norm. You know, they may take shots, but there's not this vast amount of 40 and 50 yarders being completed every week for explosive plays. Explosive plays is 20 or more. Explosive plays can start out as a 10-yard hit, a 10-yard curl, or 12-yard curl, excuse me, or a 5-yard hitch, or a slant, or a skinny route, or that route that the Titans love to run in play action, that quick in route, 10 to 12 yards. Big plays start off like that. They start 10, and they end up 30 or 40. A.J. Brown did that more than, you know, he had more than his share of, you know, passes that were caught at 5 to 10 yards, and he took them 15, 20, 25 yards. So people don't think that, okay, the Titans need that guy that can get downfield. Yes, that's great to have. All teams want that. But even the speedy Tyreek Hill only averaged 11 or 12 yards last season. And we consider him the best deep threat in the National Football League. Teams find a way, if you have a guy that could potentially get downfield, teams find a way to negate that. They make you take your time, be methodic, and if you do get an opportunity to take a 5 to 15 or a 20, then you take it. I see that as the Tennessee Titans offense. They're not a vertical offense. They never have been, and they never will be. Because some organizations, no matter what, they stick to who they are. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the New England Patriots, the Oakland Raiders, you know, teams that did certain things a certain way, they still do it that same way.
Yeah.
Except they play in a different city.
Exactly. But
every few years they switch cities.
The San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles and the Oakland Raiders of Los Angeles.
Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders.
The old LA Raiders.
But the Titans, no matter who they've had at receiver, they've never been a vertical team. Everything has been, you know, in routes, curl routes, slant routes, catch it and go. They did that with AJ. And I expect they're going to do that again this year. Don't expect vertical things. Don't.
Unless Josh Gordon can be what they hope he can be.
Yeah, but even with Josh, that's just not their offense.
Right. I think that's a good point. And that is where it's got to come from. They have gotten enough explosive plays the last few years. It was a little troublesome last year, but when it's cooking, it is that slant. And it was AJ, you could visualize it so many times. It didn't end up being Julio Jones at all. But the catch on the slant, make the first guy miss, turn it upfield, and you've got that explosive play. 20 yards or more is defined as an explosive play. If you look at the percentages, if you have a play on your drive that's 20 or more yards, your chances of scoring go way, way up, and your chances of winning go way, way up. That's what the numbers tell you. It's logical, right? But it's proven. And there's a lot of defenses now, and the Titans are one of them, that believe that, look, if you go a few first downs, that's fine. But if you can limit other teams' explosive plays, plays of 20 yards or more, you're going to win more often than not. And that is where they made a lot of headway from 2 years ago defensively. But if you turn it around, I'm still concerned, right? I don't see Robert Woods at this stage of his career coming off of an ACL injury as a guy that's going to make a lot of explosive plays. Is he going to be steady? I hope so. Like you've been saying, we don't really know coming off of an ACL what he's going to look like until you get out there in real games. But I don't see a lot of big plays from him. Treylon Burks is the X factor. He's the guy that they're counting on to make some of these plays over the course of the season, but we'll have to wait and see. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is not an explosive play guy. He's been here for a while. He's not that kind of guy. Kyle Phillips is a slot guy, shifty, big plays? No, I don't think so. So, again, who are you back to? You're back to Derrick Henry, who has been a home run hitter, but his percentage of big play carries has trended down the last couple years. I think it's the number one concern on the offense is, do they get enough of those?
I think the hard part with this too is knowing your role. Like, you know, Derek, you made big plays, but I wouldn't say you had a ton of explosive play, like those big yards. Like, I think the longest in your career was you had a 79-yarder with Baltimore in 2007, but you had a 71-yarder here in 01, but you knew how to make plays. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wonder, for a running back or a receiver, like, you know, a baseball player walks up to the plate and you can always tell when a guy's swinging for the fences. When he knows his team's down and he's like, I got to hit the grand slam right here and be the hero. And a lot of times that's to their detriment because they're not just swinging to get a hit. They're swinging to try and put it over the fence and they're not concentrating as much. They're messing up. So how does that work for a receiver or a running back or a tight end each play that, like, okay, you have a good idea the ball's coming to you, but that balance of, all right, I'm going to break one here, or I'm just going to make a play and get to the stick?
Well, it depends on, you know, the design of the play and what are you trying to get. Now, listen, every play in your mind as a receiver or a running back, it's, you know, I need to get the yardage that's there, but also if there's an opportunity to get more than that, I need to get it. Like, I need to break some tackles. Like, if it's third and one, I need to get there. This play is designed to get at least 1 yard. So I need to get that 1 yard. But if there's an opportunity for me to get more than 1 yard, breaking tackles, making people miss, then that's what I need to do. Same for receiver. If it's third and seven, the objective is to get 7 yards. But if there's an opportunity, a guy falls down, you run a great route, you break a tackle, now we get an opportunity to take a 7 to 27 or 37. So the player's mindset is, you know, run, do your job, do the job that is asked of you. But if you have the opportunity to make a play, like beyond that, then you need to make it. But first and foremost, you need to, you know, do the things that is going to make that play work. Catch the football, run the right route, read the defenses. If there's a blitz, you run the hot route. Those are things that you need to do. Again, if there's an opportunity to make a play after you catch the ball, then make that play. And I think that's where the Titans are more so leaning toward. Even with AJ Brown last year, it was, we're not going to sit here and take shot after shot after shot down the field. We got a guy that if we throw it to him at 10 yards, he break tackles. He's gone. That's what they lean more toward. That's what hopefully they're going to get their thinking out of Treylon Burks. Catch the ball at 10 yards because we know he's not beating too many people down the field. Catch it at 10 and then go.
Be the yak guy.
That's another thing that brings us back to everything. That is, you know, why are the Titans being picked as kind of they're middle of the pack, not the favorite to win the division because of A.J. Brown. But when we start talking about Burks, it always leads us back to, they flopped A.J. Brown and drafted Burks. Burks has to give them some of what A.J. Brown gave them. If he doesn't, I just don't see how the offense is going to be striking much fear. Now, they might have a defense that can take a lot of pressure off the offense. But ultimately, if you want to win in the playoffs, you got to have an offense that can score. And, you know, you're going to play against stack boxes, right? That's the advantage you have as a wide receiver for the Titans. You're going to have an eight-man box up there against Derrick Henry. So there's space out there. If you can beat your man, they'll get you the ball, and there's some space to make a play. And that's where they're going to have to get some explosive plays. But I put that as a big question mark on this team. Can they get some big plays? I don't think they're going to get as many from Derrick Henry this year. That's just my thought. At this stage of his career, you can't rely on that. He's been a guy that's hit more home runs than probably any running back. You know, we've talked about the number of 75-yard runs. He's got more than anybody ever. But you're just not going to get that as often as he ages more. So where do you make that up?
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. An interesting text has come through on Derrick Henry. We'll read that coming up next. Plus, The Athletic has a survey that I thought was interesting. Some predictions for the 2022 NFL season, including MVP and the QB class this year. We'll do that coming up next. But first, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. Hey, the summer is winding down. It'll be gone here soon. But if you've been saddled with joint pain, it may still be bothering you. Even though you could be moving indoors for your activity, you just want to stay active. And it's time to do something about that joint pain. So call QC Kinetics right now, 615-249-4024. You've put it off long enough. It's time to get that lasting relief from chronic pain in your knees. Maybe the traditional methods haven't worked for you. Steroid shots, surgery, whatever that might be. So try the regenerative medicine from QC Kinetics. It uses the highly concentrated healing properties from your own body to restore and repair that damaged joint tissue. And QC Kinetics is the leading producer in this exciting breakthrough natural approach to eliminating that joint pain. Lots of people in our listening area are doing this. You hear Emmett Smith talking about this all the time from the national end. So don't assume the old ways are the only ways of dealing with joint pain. Call QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024.
Chase William DeMace, 1025-1063, The Game. Adam Kaplan coming up at the top of the hour. We'll talk to him. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Real quick, want to read a text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff says, and he's asking you, D-Mace, Derek, if the Titans are still at heart a running-based team, after Derrick Henry's injury last year, why would they not have kept a proven running back in Deontay Foreman after showing he could get it done against good defenses and only commanding $2 million against the cap? Was it simply to save money and take a chance on a young talent because of too many other needs? Thanks.
I think it had to do with money. I mean, you look at it as saving $2 million. Well, that's $2 million now that the Titans have, or they had once they allowed him, once they didn't re-sign him. And then it gave him an opportunity, you know, to go and potentially be a starter. He wasn't going to be a starter here. So it worked out, well, you know, for Foreman. And if he continues to, you know, do what he did last year, then, you know, I'm pretty sure he won't look back and say, man, I wish I would have stayed, you know, stayed in Tennessee. He wanted an opportunity to be a starter, you know. And the Titans, they value things different than other teams. Like some teams may value their second string running back, and they may pay that second string running back, you know, almost like he's a starter. Well, the Titans don't value that from a money standpoint. They don't think they need to put, you know, $2-3 million into another, you know, one back. They can spread that over two backs, which they have with Haskins and Hilliard.
And I think a lot of people underestimate how well Hilliard did last year. I thought Hilliard was very effective, and he gives you a slightly different style. Foreman is a little bit more of the same style. And to his credit, he earned the ability to go get a contract. Mm-hmm. And the Panthers said, look, we like what you did. we got a guy that's been injured a lot, so we could use you. And he, rightfully so, jumped at the chance to do it. So I don't know that they didn't want Foreman back, but there's only so many guys that you could keep at that position because there were other needs at, you know, in terms of the salary cap, especially when your quarterback is in a situation where he's taking up $38 million off the top of your cap. He's getting paid even more than a player of his caliber should be taking up, ideally. And this is the last year they've got to deal with that. So they had to make it work in some other areas there. But he was a great find. DeAndre Foreman was on the street, right?
They both were.
He was free talent.
Foreman and you know, and Hilliard. So, I mean, look, they did a good job with both of those guys. I agree with you. I think Hilliard is going to be a factor this year. I mean, I like his explosiveness. You want to talk about that? But I thought it was an interesting question. Ian Rappaport putting out there, Derek, your quarterback later in your career with the Ravens was whom?
Joe Flacco.
Mr. Flacco?
Yeah.
He is going to start for the Jets against the Ravens.
Yeah. I mean, that's
looks like Zach Wilson will not be ready to go.
How ironic is that? The guy that replaces him, now those two battled out week one. You know, I don't know if Joe was a really good starting quarterback, and he had his moments, but I think later in his career, I think he almost, you know, resigned to be a backup. But now he gets an opportunity to start first game of the season with the team that drafted him.
Yeah.
Against him,
yeah. I mean, look, he made good money in his career. I mean,
he had a good career. He won a Super Bowl.
I mean, he had some good years
for Baltimore. He was a solid quarterback, a good quarterback in his league.
Good guy.
Yeah, Joe was a good guy, man. He was a rookie that came in and knew his spot and knew his lane, and he sort of worked his way to being that leader on the offense. He didn't just come in, oh, I'm the first round pick, I'm the quarterback, you know, because ironically, he wasn't slated to start. It was Troy Smith that was slated to start because Troy had ended the season at being a starter the year previous.
Steve got hurt.
Yeah. But then Troy got really sick and had to be in a hospital for some weeks.
Yeah.
And Joe ended up starting the first game of the season and kind of went from there.
Did you pull him aside and say, hey, you see 85 here on my jersey?
He knew it always.
Throw the ball to me.
Yeah.
I'll catch it. I won't drop it. I'll catch it.
Yeah,
so we love surveys here on the show, and The Athletic has done a survey. If I could do a little survey, shout out to Scott Hall. Josh Allen dethrones Aaron Rodgers for MVP. Trevor Lawrence outshines QB class. That is the headline. Jeff Howe did this article. They polled 18 people around the NFL to get their thoughts on the regular season. This included 8 general managers, 3 front office executives, 5 head coaches, and 2 assistant coaches. And that's how they got these results. And I, you know, was kind of looking through it. Some were more obvious than others, but I thought it was interesting. So who will win the MVP? Bills quarterback Josh Allen got the most votes with 10. Rodgers, the defending 2-time MVP, got 3 votes. Mahomes got 1. Russell Wilson got 1. Aaron Donald got 1.
Mm-hmm.
One voter said about Josh Allen, the guy that didn't even make the Pro Bowl last year. And then he smirked and said, Josh Allen. That's who he voted for. So I what do you guys think about that? That these executives and coaches, GMs, feel like this is Josh Allen's year to really shine?
I mean, the numbers, you know, say that this is the year. What he has done over the last, what, 2 or 3 seasons, you know, he warrants the attention. He warrants the, you know, preseason sort of accolades. You know, he warrants being in the hunt for the MVP because of what he has done. I can remember, you know, when Josh Allen, his first year or two, people try to run him out the league. He can't do this. He can't do that, you know, because they were so used to, you know, they weren't used to the old way of grooming a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't used to, you know, the quarterback coming in, sitting for a year, or if he had to start slowly kind of grooming him in and slowly working him in, and then by year three, he's the quarterback you want him to be. They're not used to that. So when he struggled early on, it was like, get him out of here. Why did they draft him? He was a former receiver. Look at the kid now. The kid is a top five quarterback. He's an elite quarterback in the NFL. Had he listened to, you know, all of us, well, not me, but all of us, then he would have went in a shell and not, he would have quit football. So he deserves this. Will he win it? I don't know. You know.
He's getting a lot of attention. The Bills are getting a lot of attention. The Bills are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl going mm-hmm. into the year. So expectations really high. And so I think that just becomes the challenge for a guy like Josh Allen, who is, you know, he's been on this huge rise the last couple of years. And so now it's expected that he plays at a high level every week. And I think he's capable of doing that. He's got a new offensive coordinator. Remember, the guy that was running that offense is going to be here in Nashville running the Giants on Sunday. So he parlayed that into a head coaching job. So now they've got a new guy. That's always something to look at, especially early in the season. Do they adjust? Can they get him more support from the ground game? Or is he got to do it all himself? That's the other thing that Allen did last year. He was probably their best runner when it came down to it. He was the guy that just created a lot when things broke down. So it's not surprising at all that he's getting the preseason accolades that he's getting.
Okay, here's a question I want to ask you guys, and this is throwing sort of a curveball. Because you talk about Josh Allen and his ability to get the ball down the field. They run this sort of spread type of offense where three receivers and they're doing a bunch of exotic stuff with McDermott as the head coach. Who's the OC? Is he the OC there as well? In Buffalo?
No, it was Daboll.
Yeah, it was Daboll. Who's the OC now? But I'm pretty sure it's going to be sort of the same offense that you run.
Ken Dorsey.
Okay, Ken Dorsey. So it's going to be that's the old Florida quarterback? Is it Florida? Ken Dorsey. Florida State, Florida, Miami, Florida.
Yeah, he was the quarterback's coach.
Yeah. So they're going to run this offense. But the question I want to ask you guys is, can, with Ryan Tannehill, the skill set that he has, his ability to throw the football, and he's an accurate quarterback, but he also has that ability to run, and he make quick decisions, I believe. And Ryan's a good quarterback. He's done some boneheaded things with the football, but Ryan is a good, solid quarterback. Can he do some of the things that Josh Allen does if the offense allowed for it?
Okay. Well, let's answer that coming up next, because I think I just saw a stat that would tell me he probably can, which I think people lose sight of. A very interesting question. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto. Pronto, please.
Let's talk Loan Pronto. homeowners are out there. Just closed with Loan Pronto yesterday, doing some business with them. And we really enjoyed our experience with them in our household. Wrapped it up yesterday. And now we are poised to do the things we want to do financially. And that is what Loan Pronto wants you to know, that whether it's one thing or another, whether it's tuitions, that's what we're looking at with a daughter in college. You know, there's different things you want to do. And with Loan Pronto, you can use your house. If you're a homeowner, your home's values are really good right now. That's not any news to you. But what you may not know is Loan Pronto can get you the cash if you need to address bills in some sort. Not Buffalo bills, but whatever bills you have, whether it's tuition or credit cards or car loans or other high-interest loans that are out there, it's an advantage to you to get the cash out, and you can do it with a real quick, streamlined system that involves very little or no paperwork. It's outstanding. And so we had a great experience with Loan Pronto ourselves, and so we want to pass that along to you. You've heard me talking about it for a couple years, so we've worked with them. So give them a call, because they can help you with your needs financially. If you are a homeowner, they've got excellent rates right now. APRs in the fours for 30 years fixed. 15-year APRs that start with a 3. So ask about their home equity line program or any other refi program that they have. Get the details by calling Loan Pronto at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to their website, loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 615-737-1025, 1025-1063, the game. This Saturday and Sunday, the Chainsmokers hit Music City at the Blended Wine and Music Festival. 24 bands, two stages, one weekend, all under the Nashville skyline. Buy your tickets now at blendedfestival.com. That's blendedfestival.com. Talking about The Athletic and their article that they have, a survey that they did with 18 different people in the NFL, which includes 8 general managers, 3 front office executives, 5 head coaches, 2 assistant coaches, and talking about quarterbacks and who will win the MVP, Derek asked the question, if the offense would allow, could Ryan Tannehill do some of the things that Josh Allen does? I saw this, and we've talked about this time and time again. Mm-hmm. But since week 7 of the 2019 season, which is when Tannehill became the starter for the Titans, he is 3rd on the list of quarterback wins with 30. He's only 4 wins behind Aaron Rodgers and 2 behind Patrick Mahomes.
Hmm. You remember my Ryan Tannehill appreciation day that I had with you guys. Kind of like my attitude was, look, I know we talk a lot about his limitations and what he can't do, but let's talk about what he has done. And no doubt, he's done that. And one of the things we hit on that day is where Derek's going. Now, he's at that age where he's been very durable the last few years. He hasn't missed a start. That's another huge attribute that he should be given a lot more credit for. He's been available. He runs the ball extremely effectively. Extremely effectively. And it's not just, hey, he's mobile. But when he decides to run, his percentage of the time picking up a first down is the best in the league. So is that what you're saying, Derek, is, look, you know, with some limitations perhaps at receiver, you don't have A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown, you want to see him run the ball a little bit more? Because the quality is there.
Mm-hmm.
The efficiency is there. But do you want to see a little bit more of it? And can he do that at his age?
Not necessarily. I mean, yes, Ryan can run the football and run the football effectively, but I don't think that's his mindset, is to run the football, because like you said, Willie, he's getting older. So he don't want to put himself in a position where him running unnecessarily eventually hurts the team because he gets injured. So I think a lot of his runs are, you know, out of necessity. Because he tries to extend the play, but if he can't, he runs, especially in crucial situations where they need the first down. That's where you see him running a lot, and in the red zone. So not necessarily just from that standpoint, but I just think from a trust standpoint and from the ability to know the offense, know what it is, read the defense the way you're supposed to read it, and distribute the football the way you need. Obviously, we don't have a Stephon Diggs. The Titans don't have a Stephon Diggs. But they got some good players that I think if you allowed him, if you wasn't such a run-heavy team and you allowed him to just go out there and make the right decisions, I think 90% of the time, probably more than that, he makes the right decision. Now, whether guys catch the football or, you know, it may be a little overthrown or defenses make a good play, that's a different story. But majority of the time, he makes the right decision at who he wants to throw the football to.
Yeah. And look, I will give him last year that the Titans didn't do him any favors by not addressing the tight end position. They got to know his strength. His strength is using the tight end. And they finally did. They did that this year. They went and got Austin Hooper. They drafted Chigakonkwo. So you hope that that's going to help him. But you look at his success, especially in the red zone, a lot had to do with Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith was effective, and that made Firkser effective, and you know, so on and so forth. But so they didn't help him there. I also look at it as, I think Arthur Smith really knew how to use him.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying Todd Downing doesn't, but I think Todd Downing's had more of a learning curve. Now, the big factor for me, I think, is going to be Tim Kelly, because I think Tim Kelly is going to come in with some new ideas. He's had quarterbacks like that in the past that, you know, can be mobile, can do some, be versatile, do some different things. And even though he's the quote unquote passing game coordinator, he's going to be sitting there in those meetings and working with Todd Downing on, hey, let's play to Ryan's strengths and do some stuff like, you know, like this. And we did this in Houston. You know, no, he's not Deshaun Watson, but there's still some concepts that I think he can take away from that. So I am curious of kind of what the evolution of building the offense around Ryan Tannehill is going to be, because Arthur Smith did a really good job of it.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, Ryan Tannehill is Josh Allen. I'm not saying that. But if you look at Josh's short career thus far and Ryan's career, if you're talking quarterback ratings or completion, I mean completion percentage, they're right around the same, you know. Ryan is, he completes 64% of his passes.
67 last year.
Yeah. And Josh completes, I'm saying as for their career, Josh completes 62% of his passes. Now, Buffalo throws the ball more than the Titans. Why? Because they have a legitimate playmaker. They have a top five, top seven receiver. So they're going to do that. And that's just the way their offense is built. They're always, their offense has always been built, you know, to pass the football. Going back to Jim Kelly, the offense was built to pass the football. Jim Kelly and whoever else you want to, you know, his receivers, everything else, they were that run and shoot type of offense. Now, before that, obviously they ran the football a lot with OJ, but after that, it was, you know, we're spreading everybody out and we're throwing the football and playing good defense. Well, Buffalo still does that.
Yeah.
Play good defense and throw the heck out the football. I think Ryan Tannehill, put in the right position, I think he can do some of the things offensively from a passing standpoint that Josh Allen does. And he has the ability to run the football. Again, he makes good decisions 90% or probably more than that. He makes the right throw. He's had some bonehead throws, but typically I don't worry about Ryan Tannehill making the wrong throw.
If he has the right help.
Exactly.
He does that. Like, and I've always said that. I think Ryan Tannehill is more than capable of leading this team to a Super Bowl if he has the right pieces around him. Mike Vrabel said it last year. We have to be great around him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the elite quarterback that it's the other way around. He's but just most, not. But I think
most
he knows that.
People, from, again, going back to one of our themes, from the outside, they don't think that the pieces around him are better on right. offense.
Well,
they're very different. Mm-hmm. But are they better? I think internally, they believe that potentially they can be better by the end of the season. But they got a lot of role definition things to work out. And is Derrick Henry going to be Derrick Henry? But at the end of the season, in that press conference, when he said that still thinking that A.J. Brown was going to be on the team. We have to be better around him. Mm-hmm. We have to help him. We have to elevate. He's not a tier one quarterback. He's a quarterback that can win with good pieces around him. And since then, they traded A.J. Brown, and they have got a lot of new pieces in different places. Are they better?
We're going to find out. The only time the Titans are mentioned in this survey, name three teams that will surprise people in a bad way. Titans got four votes.
The
narrative continues.
The national narrative isn't good.
We'll find out what a national NFL insider thinks about the Titans coming up next. We'll talk to Adam Kaplan. That is coming up here on Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.